Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are closing out our week going through a short section of the first chapter of 1 Peter, this letter that Peter's writing to the believers that have kind of been dispersed through the diaspora, Jews that have come to believe in different places of the world. And so he's writing this letter that is really encouraging them to hope. And as we identified yesterday, and we've been seeing over and over and over again, the apostles, they're constantly calling the believers to this encouragement of hope. And I think a lot of times we like think of the early church as like, oh, they all knew Jesus. It was so great. And it was like butterflies and rainbows for them. And the church was being built and it was so fun and exciting. And it was just great for them. And they were traveling around and preaching and everything was so good. But really they were facing, I mean, the church was growing immensely, but they're facing persecution. I mean, Peter will get crucified upside down. Most of the apostles will be martyred, as well as many other believers in Jesus. They'll be imprisoned. Almost all of Paul's writings come from being imprisoned. And Paul's saying, he's like, persecution is going to come. This is the reality of the early church, is they were constantly being chased. They were constantly being rejected. People were killing them. There was massive, massive amounts of violence and sexual immorality and worship of idols in these big cities like Ephesus and in Rome and all these places. And so it's not that much different than it is now. You know, I think there's different problems, or maybe they would say we have it worse, or we would say we have it worse. But I think we think that it always was easier to have hope in different times. But the apostles, what they were facing was profoundly hard. Do you think it's easy to have hope when people are arresting you and are crucifying you upside down? When you're being martyred, all of this kind of stuff. And that's not to say that what we're going through isn't hard, but to say when we look at the world, friends, the apostles, we need to be encouraged today by the apostles' words, because they were going through similar things. And what they were saying over and over and over again was, have hope, have hope. So we started this week of saying, get your mind spiritually right. This is something you have control over. You are not at the whim of every thought, of every feeling that comes into your mind. Jesus Christ has given you power through his death and resurrection to submit your thoughts to Christ so you can be a spiritually focused soldier. You can be ready on the front battle lines. You can be ready as a runner about to run your race, but you need to be focused. Runners are so intense about what goes in their body, about what they eat, about what they drink, about what they're listening to, about their mindset, because running is so mental, right? So you're starting, and then he says, set your hope on the things that are to come. Again, what is the anchor for my soul? Not my own holiness, not how well I'm doing, not my own successes, not if I have my vocation yet, not if God is giving me everything I want, not even the immense suffering in the world, whether that's being made right now or not, not even justice in the world in this moment. My hope is on Jesus Christ is coming again in glory, and he has set me free from sin, and he's going to take me home to his Father. This is what we're setting our hope on. And then it says, you've been invited into the divine life. You've been set apart. So be holy. Walk in obedience and submission. And finally, you're a foreigner here. This world is not your home. Stop settling into this world and conduct yourself with reverent fear, with awe of God that produces submission and obedience. So let's read our psalm and let's wrap up with the last couple of verses that we have here. Psalm 131, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Lord Jesus, today as we approach this word, we set our eyes on you, quiet our hearts and our minds. Create a space in us where we can hear you, where we can see you, and where we can rest in you. Come, Holy Spirit, make us content with being with you, with being before you, with hearing from you. For we place our hope in you now and forever. Amen. Amen. So again, let's start on verse 17 and go through verse 21 here. So 1 Peter 1:17-21. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So remember, we talked about last time, he's saying, you do not belong to this world. This world is not your home. Start acting like you belong to heaven. And then I love this, for you know, he's reminding you, he says, you know, that it was not with perishable things that you were purchased. He's saying your life was bought with a price. You were redeemed. You were ransomed. You were taken back. You were bought back, not with silver or with gold, not with things that pass away. You weren't paid for with money, but you were redeemed. Listen to this, from your empty way of life handed down from you by your ancestors. God, Jesus doesn't just make your life better. We've talked about this. He doesn't just enhance us. He doesn't just give us a better life. He ransoms us. He rescues us from emptiness. Friends, sometimes we can be deceived by the world. When we begin to live in the pleasures of the world, when we begin to set up camp here and we say, I need money, I need power, I need influence. Yes, I need God, but I need all of these other things to go my way. He's saying the world tricks you and sin is empty. Sin is empty. Has this ever happened to you that the evil one tries to like make you look at your past with like longing? Like sometimes we talk about our sin and we're like, oh, when I used to drink or when I used to do these like pleasures of the world, and we kind of still look at the world at times with like, oh, I had to just stop. That was fun, but I had to stop doing it because God wanted me to stop doing it. And there's a way that which the culture puts forth this image of sin that look how fun it is. Look how fulfilling it is to jump from partner to partner. Look how amazing it is not to be tied down with a ball and chain of marriage. Look how fun it is and fulfilling to be able to travel and do whatever you want at any time and not be held down by kids that you have to find babysitters for to be able to do what you want. This is the messaging of the world, a selfish life. And they make it look so cool and fun. Everybody's always having fun. Everybody's always happy. But the reality is that it's empty. And I love that wording, not just that it's bad, it is bad, not just that it is evil, not that it's just going to lead you to eternal damnation. All of that is true and it's right, but this word, this emptiness, there's nothing there for you. It's frivolous. There's no substance. It's empty. It's empty. It resounds, it echoes with this emptiness, this empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, saying you were doing what you were doing because you didn't know any way any better. The world hands down to you this way of living that's seen as good, but it's empty. But you're redeemed from an empty way of life. Anybody feel that today? If think about how God has saved you. There's a song I love. It goes, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. When I think about the Lord, when we think about what the Lord has done for us, there's this longing that comes in our chest. There's this gratitude because it's like, wow, Lord, what you ransomed me from. That way of life that I was in the world, what I was handing myself over to, the sin that I was in, it's so empty. It's so, so, so empty. And it leaves us empty. It leaves us longing. It leaves us still desiring. And he's saying, you were redeemed from that. Jesus bought you. And it's not in a way of like, oh, you've been bought like a slave or something. He's like, he's purchased you with his blood. The price he has paid is his blood. It's not something you can just go to the bank and get. It's something that's shed. The precious blood of Christ, the lamb that was given for you. And this lamb of God, he's saying he was with the Father before the foundation of the world. He was with his Father there living in perfect communion. He was there, but at a particular time, God has chosen to reveal himself, to show the Father through the Son. He's saying, I'm giving you my Son. I'm handing over in a particular time the spotless Lamb of God to redeem you from your empty, futile ways. You keep trying to make it to me, but all you get is emptiness. And so I'm giving you my Son. I'm giving you my Son. He's the lamb who was slain, and his blood will cleanse you and wash you, and it will bring you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And you will now live as a foreigner in this world, walking in submission, walking in obedience, walking in holiness. But what does it produce? It says through him, through Jesus, through the blood of the lamb, you believe in God. There's a translation I like better that says through him, you have confidence in God. You're confident. All your hope is in him. You're putting all your eggs in one basket. Through him, you believe in the Father. The Father who's done what? Raised him from the dead and glorified him. This is the gospel. The Father, you're living in emptiness and ruin on the way to eternal death. The Father who is living in perfect union with the Son and the Spirit says, it's time for me to be made known. It's time for the character and the nature of God to be revealed to man. So I'm sending my Son at the appointed time, and his face will reveal the face of the Father. And he will redeem you from your futile, empty ways by the shedding of his blood. He will be buried in the ground for 3 days after offering perfect sacrifice to God the Father. And the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit will raise him from the dead and glorify him. How is Jesus glorified? Remember, we had this in the last couple of weeks. He's glorified, becoming humiliated, becoming obedient to death. This is how Jesus wages war, obedience to death on a cross. The Father raises him and glorifies him so that we can be confident in this God. This is who God is. This is what he's done for us. And he's saying, I'm giving you all of this, and I'm asking you the way that you make it to me, the way that you set your hope on what is to come, is to walk in obedience and submission to the one who has purchased you. You have been purchased with a price. You have been born again into a living hope. So therefore, have a spiritually focused mindset. Be ready to run your race. Walk in complete submission to what God has asked of you, and do not fall back into your former way of life, which is empty. And friends, today, practice this. Say, God, give me the ability to have confidence in you and to set my hope in you. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.